Hello there, everybody, boys and girls and moms and dads and fishermen's and fisherwomen's and fisher kids and fisher dogs and cats and stuff like that. Yes, all the different fisher type people.
What about a kingfisher?
Oh, you gotta throw in a wild one on me.
I think it's fishing Franks.
Yeah, well, I forgot about the fishing Franksers.
You're right. So,
anyway, fishing Frank here. Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain
the dumb redneck Dwayne Frank.
Well,
wow. That's a great introduction.
Reigning president of the DAR. So, for all those without the proper edification to know the DAR, it's the dumbass redneck.
Roger on that one.
And the reigning president and, you know, national president, you know, not only just the local chapters. So, anyway, we're talking about happy fishing stuff. And that's kind of hard to do because it's been cold, rainy, windy, and all the rain produces massive flooding down all of our rivers and ejections from the Caloosahatchee and produce a lot of red tide. Now, Dwayne, you have inshore charter trips, you have offshore charter trips, you have tarpon charter trips, you have all these different types of charter trips.
And you have a lot of different hats.
We're just in
Well, he's got to cover that bald head with something.
It gets cold, so we have to keep it covered.
I hope you're going with that.
You know, and the older we get, the thinner the skin gets, so it gets a lot colder. But we do try to give everybody a full outfitter.
Okay, let's talk about some of the boats you're running. Right now, what's your offshore boat?
We're running a 41-foot Hatteras. Real nice boat. Very comfortable. We even have heat for this time of year versus the air conditioning in the summer.
Well, I can tell you the one thing I like about your boat is it's all been redone, except the interior has that old feel.
Yeah, and we've started to do a little bit of work on the salon, kind of updating it a little bit in the salon area.
But I mean, it's what's
nice about
it. Majority
of it's going to stay old school.
Everything's been reworked and
it's modern, but still has the old kind of feel and look to it.
Wood inside and stuff. I like all that wood. You know, when you walk into a boat and everything's fiberglass, it's cool. You know, and it's nice because it's new and modern. But when you walk in and it's all hardwoods and all that, that's cool. I like that. So
I guess I should have said the modern technologies, I guess, would be more appropriate.
Yeah.
He's got his TV in there and
there is a picture right next to it of Dwayne's boat, and you click on that, it'll take you right to his website, Real Action Charters. But now, it's been a little tough. It's been tough here in the store. I mean, I don't blame people. You know, this is just rough weather to want to go fishing in. Now, you're looking at today's Wednesday, and we've got moderate winds, but it's cold. And now Thursday's coming up, and the weather's supposed to be a little better. What are you thinking about getting out?
Honestly, we've had to reschedule a lot January and this month so far, just because of the winds, things to that nature.
I heard a story because your boat really takes the rough weather well. I mean, high winds and waves. I mean, your boat's really nice for that. Didn't you have to perform a rescue the other day?
We did have to assist the Coast Guard with a sailboat the other day on Saturday. We had timed our trip to beat the storm in. We had watched it build offshore. And we got all the way to Boca Grande Pass. And, of course, the Coast Guard gets on the radio and calls for assistance. So then we have to stick our stuff back into this storm that we just outran to go rescue a sailboater that was down.
You're out there and you go, okay, the storm's coming. I got this much time. Get my fishing in, catch my stuff, get everything together, get back in safe, and then you get into safe harbor and the Coast Guard calls.
It's part of the business. We would hope somebody would do the same for us as well if we were in that position. The good thing about it is our customers get to see that we are very professional about what we do. And it helps in the long run, you know. The best part about the whole deal is the guy did come to the dock the next day looking for me to tell me thanks, which we greatly appreciate that. Most of the time you do that, you never hear from them. It's like you owed them something, but it's all good. It's part of the game.
It's amazing how far a thank you will go.
It is. I mean...
Anyway, so you went out, towed him back in, everything all safe and sound. But when you were coming back in, from what I understand, you were still in 2 to 3 foot seas with a couple of fives. What happened when you turned around?
It went from 3 to 5s to about 10s. They were breaking on the windshield on the Hatteras. And on the flybridge, it was pretty wet and cold. But there was a few choice words said behind my breath, but we did what we have to do.
Well, you know, like you say, if it was you, you'd want somebody to, you know, suck it up and come get you, too.
That's exactly right. I'd do it for anybody that they needed help. So that's the way we roll.
So it was all good. You know, I want to get back into the thing, but one of the problems that we're having on the coast, I don't want to forget where we were, so I'm going to make a note here, getting ready to do trips this week, but how's the red tide been problematic for you?
There has been some red tide out there, guys. Most of it that I've seen, there's a pretty good fish kill around 12 miles offshore. Pretty solid line of fish. Coming in Saturday as well, we've seen some pretty good female snook, breeder snook that were floating. Breaks your heart, but that's part of Mother Nature, I guess, making the vicious cycle.
You saw those inside or outside?
There was fish inside Boca Grande Pass, out by the bell buoys that were floating, and I'm talking 20, 30-pound fish that were upside down. It's kind of depressing, but there's not much we can do about it at that point.
And one of the things that happens, if it's fairly common we get a red tide, it doesn't seem to go as deep into the water. You know what I mean? It tends to be more of a surface thing, and it affects the shallower water, but as we get this rough weather, it seems to stir it up and actually take it deeper into the water column, where you, normally at 30 feet of water, those fish wouldn't have been as affected by the red tide, but then you get all that wave action, stirs it all up, it actually puts it from the bottom to the top in deeper water than it should be.
It's like putting your cocktail in the blender, man. It's all good till you turn the blender on. You know,
yeah.
And it all gets mixed up, and then we get caught in that current that runs the bottom, so then we get a lot of spread from the tide. It'll go from top to bottom, so it makes it difficult for us, you know. But
so how far are you running out to get into good fishing and avoid that red tide?
We're running we can catch some nice snapper and things to that nature somewhere in the 15 to 18 mile range. But for us to get to some quality grouper right now, we're going 20 to 30 miles, man, on a daily trip. And I'll be honest, this month so far, the grouper fishing's been a little tougher than normal. I mean, the last three trips, I have not had my limit of grouper, and it does not make me happy at that point.
For you not to get a limit, that's real tough. Yeah, it's real tough.
And normally that's a daily occurrence for us, you know, and...
Your boat's known for...
It's usually one or two spots.
Right, and a lot of times we can be tagged out by 10:30 in the morning, and here lately we've been working pretty hard to even get close, but we haven't the last few trips. Plenty of snapper, lots of nice lanes and mangroves, things of that nature, but...
Now, how are you doing for bait? If you're getting bait up inside, how are you getting it out past the red tide?
We have recircs on our bait wells on our boat. We can catch our bait inside, and then we can put them in our tanks and run. This time of year, we're not using a whole lot of bait. These fish, the water's cold. I mean, we're down to about 65 degrees out there. So most of the fish, they're eating dead bait, cut bait, sardines, squid wings.
You're not having to keep live bait on the boat to get the quality fish.
And then once we get out there, we can hit the bottom and catch us some fresh squirrel fish and stuff like that, which seems to be working pretty good right now for us as well. And even the frozen squirrel fish that we have left over, we'll put them in the freezer, and then because we have a bait freezer on board. So, and then once we get to where the grouper are eating, I can take those out and butterfly them, and they do as well as they would if they were alive for us. So, bait has not been a problem.
Well, that's good. Now, people are, you know, they're going to be, they want to go tomorrow. Now, the wind's backing off today a little bit. And tomorrow and Friday are supposed to be actually fairly good days for as far as wind and water and everything else. You were saying you're probably not going to run tomorrow. What's up with that?
Well, tomorrow they're calling for, today we have 10 to 15 northwest. We've had northwest and it swings north for a couple hours during the day and then it'll turn around and go right back northwest. We have another front that's coming in on Sunday as well. So when we get northwest, it blows 20, 25, gusting 30 plus. You'll have a residual off of that that'll last a day or so.
What do you mean a residual?
Just because the wind lays down doesn't mean that the waves automatically shut off like a light switch.
So because it's coming out of the northwest, that's a long ways because those waves are building all the way from like Louisiana.
Or further.
Coming at Florida from as far away in the Gulf, so it does take a while for it to all lay down.
Correct. And tomorrow morning's gonna be cold, guys. I don't, to some of you it may not be cold, but us southern boys, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be in the 30s in the morning. And even some of my customers from up north, they don't like it. They don't like it. You know, you got to put gloves on to try to fish. They're freezing, their hands are. So we're better off to go ahead and keep our customers comfortable. Give it one more day. We've missed so many now, one more is not going to kill us.
Right. So you're looking at, I'm kind of looking at Friday, taking Friday off and getting out in the boat. It's supposed to be 68 degrees, reasonable winds, you know, and let's face it, if the weather's saying 68, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be 75, 78 degrees, you know, in the sun.
Yes.
In the sun, out of the wind, it will be, you know, it's always about 10 degrees more in the sun. Because when they take the temperature, it's in the shade. They don't take it in the sun. So always add about 10 for sunshine. If we get a sunny day, Friday's going to actually be really nice.
Friday will be nice, Frank.
How do you think the fishing's going to be, Robert or Dwayne or anybody? Because now we haven't had a front for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been cold, but I don't think we've had a front for a few days. So by Friday, I'm actually thinking the fishing might actually do pretty good.
I think this whole weekend will probably be pretty good starting Friday.
And I agree with Robert 100%.
There. Depending on the wave action offshore, like he's talking about, if the residual waves are still there, Thursday is a bad choice to go out. But if it is a nice day, it'd actually probably be an okay day. But I think you'll see like tomorrow will be like good. But I think Friday, Saturday, and even most of Sunday will be pretty outstanding.
I think we're looking at a pretty good weekend coming up because of no fronts for the last few days. We're going to be,
I think it'll be the first weekend also in what, a month that a front hasn't crushed us on a weekend?
So no fronts. I haven't looked at the wind forecast, but from what I remember, they're not calling for any major wind or anything else, and it's supposed to be sunny and decent. This might actually be a Florida weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a normal, nice February day.
Right. Robert said it. It's a February day. I mean, it's not going to be gorgeous. We'll be in the 70s, cool in the morning, but that's what we expect.
That's 4th of July for most people up north, though.
Well, that is true. I mean, you know, we complain our water's 65 degrees. They're swimming and water skiing in 65 degrees up north. But that's beside the point. We don't live up north.
Well, my whole thing is, you know, I don't mind that 70s. I like that, you know, because we've only got a few months and it's going to be 80 every day. So I actually look forward to the 70-degree days. I actually dread the 60-degree days. Florida still has the coldest 60-degree weather. Because you figure right where we're standing right now, we're about maybe 10 feet, 13
above
feet
sea level.
Above sea level. We're sitting right in a pocket of major humidity. And what people coming down from up north don't understand, they're saying it's going to be 70 degrees. When you leave in the morning, you have a wind chill factor that's beyond belief. Because you're right at sea level, 105% humidity, and now you're going to add 25, 30 mile an hour wind to it. And that
just
is
cuts right
cold.
Through you.
Yeah. So when you, if you're going to come out and do a trip or a charter, go fishing, first thing in the morning, bring plenty of jackets. Actually, a raincoat is probably one of the best things to wear in the morning because the wind doesn't go through it.
Correct.
If you put a raincoat on in the morning and run out, you always just take it off in a little while because as soon as you get there, you're going to get hot. I mean, if you're from up north and it's 70 degrees, that raincoat's going to be real heavy once you stop, but you're really going to want it going out just to break that wind off, keep the wind chill factor from freezing you on the way out, and that's going to benefit your whole day. I mean, it's always nice to be able to go back up north and say, I was in Florida, and we left the dock, it was 68 degrees, and I froze my butt off.
Right. You know?
And they're all going to look at you like you got a third eye.
Yeah.
So, now... I'm getting a lot of questions in the Gulf. How the hogfish, the snappers, the all the different
all the pelagic fish,
all the different particulars. Any idea how this month is going to be on some of these fish?
Frank, I'm gonna be honest. I been here my whole life, man. And them hogfish, I mean, we catch them here and there, but that's not a targeted fish for us. If we go north a little bit, the geographical bottom changes. I think they get a lot better in numbers as you go north. As far as our area right here, we don't see as many as you would if you were fishing Tampa Bay area, something in that range. And that's on our average daily trip, which is a 8 to 9 hour trip. Now, if we do the overnight stuff or the longer runs, we can have a little better option of catching some quality hogfish. Most of the guys I know, they catch a few here, a few there. There's not.
What about lane snapper? How are they doing this year?
The lane snapper, we do well with those every day.
It's been an unbelievable lane snapper the last, 2 years now? Going into our second year?
Correct. And, I mean, we're catching some snapper that should be nighttime snapper on a moon. I mean, they're big lane snapper. So... that right there is our saving grace when it comes to the snapper, I think. I mean, we're limited on our 20 aggregate snapper, and then our lanes are outside of that. So that allows people to take a nice bag of fish home at the end of the day.
And to me, I think they're one of the best.
I take them over anything.
But as far as, you know, bottom fishing out there, they're not huge, spectacular to catch, but the meal at the end of the day is beyond belief.
100% the best.
So, you know, but... I like the mangrove snappers, but I'm a little different. Everybody always gets excited when they get the 16, 18-inch mangrove snappers out there, but I like the 12s. You know, I like them real close to the bottom of the limit. I think they're
mangrove will get a little strong.
The bigger they are, the better they are, but with mangrove snappers, I'm looking for the smaller ones.
I think, personally, I mean, and everybody has their own flavor. I think the lanes are probably the most mildest fish of the snapper that we actually catch. Your mangroves can be a little stronger depending on the size. You start getting 6-7 pound mangroves, they can get a little strong,
but they're a lot of fun to catch because they strong in fight and a little stronger in flavor. But you know, don't let what I said put you off on those, because now we're talking the difference between, do you like vanilla or strawberry?
Correct.
Do you like, you know, steak with pepper on it or steak with salt on it? It's a flavor issue, and there's nothing to do with edibility. It's all about flavor. And I've got people that absolutely love sea trout. I don't like them. I don't like eating sea trout. It's not my favorite fish, but like my mom and dad, they love them. And so it's flavor issues. Who likes which one?
Yes, sir.
I like black tips. I don't really care for bonnets, but I got a buddy of mine. He won't eat a black tip. All he likes to eat is bonnets. So, you know, flavor issues. But we've talking about lane snappers now.
What about the triggerfish going on out there?
Triggerfish is fairly phenomenal. We're catching some giant triggerfish right now. I mean,
see, I'll take those over any of your snapper in a heartbeat.
Those and your porgies. Your porgies are some excellent eating out there, and the meat on them is flaky, white as a piece of paper. So, I mean, we have so many options for people that fish with us.
You're going to find a flavor you like.
Everybody will find something that they like better than the other. And it all is what you've grown up around, I believe.
When you're looking, you go out and you take off for a day trip to go bottom fishing out there. Is there anything else available? We've talked, right now, red grouper in season.
Yes, sir.
Any other grouper in season?
We can have scamps as well, which is probably the best eating grouper of the entire column of grouper. So they don't get as big. There are minimum size of 16 inches, but they're probably the sweetest, flakiest, whitest grouper that we have.
So, for as far as snappers go, on your choice of snappers, lane snapper.
Correct.
Then, as far as grouper goes, your number one choice would be scamp.
Yes, sir.
And now the gags come back in the summer.
Yep, June.
In June, yeah. So, right now, you have red grouper and scamp that are available that you can catch. How's it going with the... if you went out, what would be... four fish that you're likely to bring back?
We're going to catch some grouper. We're going to, right now, we're putting a lot of gag grouper back, real nice ones, but they're fun to catch. We just release them back. But for bringing home purposes, we're going to have your red grouper, we're going to have your mangrove snapper, we're going to have your lane snapper. Until all these fronts, we were catching some real nice flag yellowtails out here. So we haven't had a chance to get back to them since all this wind. I'm sure they've moved a little south on us, but we were getting our limit of 10 per person in a matter of about 45 minutes on the yellowtails.
Wow.
It was almost like fishing in the Keys.
Been any vermilion out there?
There is a lot of vermilion snapper out there, or beeliners, whatever you want to call them. The snapper bite is just unreal. I mean, we clean on the average 100-plus fish a day.
Really?
So.
Okay. Well, that's I guess that's
significant.
That says quite a bit. So.
What about the AJs?
AJs is a fish that we don't target as much, Robert, only because we have certain clients that really want to target them. The problem I have when you want to go AJ fishing or you want to go Goliath grouper fishing, I will let you know, we will do it all day long if that's what you want to do. The downside is, if you're looking for a bag of groceries to go home, don't expect me to be cleaning 100 plus fish at the end of the day if we're going AJ fishing, because we're wreck fishing. And when we wreck fish, a lot of people have a lot of difficulties sometimes
keeping them out of the wreck.
So you're going to lose a lot of fish. You're going to lose a lot of tackle. I'm not saying they're not fun, but you'd have to understand.
You may or may not be bringing home that.
A bunch of groceries.
Right. You have grocery trips and you have fun trips.
Correct.
And it's really hard to mix the two. If you go out and you get a bunch of groceries off and they go, okay, this is good, do you then switch off and say, okay, let's go have some fun?
We will. We will. We have a bunch of guys that fish with us out of the Englewood Fishing Club. And, they started out, they wanted to do part of the day trolling, and then they wanted to do part of the day bottom fishing. And over time, they fished with us enough now to know. They get on the boat in the morning, they look at me, and they're like, Dwayne, what's our odds for trolling today? And I mean, these guys have caught 20-plus pound grouper trolling with us. They've caught the kingfish. They've caught the AJs and the bonita. And they just booked a trip the other day. I said, are we doing a little bit of both? It's later in the month, and they go, no, we're strictly bottom fishing, Dwayne. We've learned our lesson. So, I mean, it's kind of funny because you watch these people, they come, and a lot of them are from up north, and 80% of their fishing up north is trolling. And then they get here, and we don't have the pelagic fish to troll for like most people would think. You know, I still get questions on a daily basis. Do we have big dolphin here? Do we have sailfish? Do we have marlin? I'm like, guys, time out. We're up in the bowl on the Gulf Coast here. We have them, but we have to make a ride. From my dock to the Gulf Stream's 144 miles.
Well, I would say if you're out 50 miles, you have a fair shot.
Only in the summer.
Only in the summer, huh? Because I keep hearing about stories of Mahi Mahi and all that 35, 45 miles out, but it's a summertime thing.
It's more of a summertime entity. Those are pelagics that travel for the warm water. So once we get out there, yeah, we have wahoo, we have dolphin, we have small sailfish. I mean, a sailfish on our coast, 20 to 40 pounds, you're lucky. That's a good one.
Right.
You know, you go to the east coast of Florida, they're going to go 40 to 60 pounds. If you want what I call a real sailfish, go to Central South America. They average 120 pounds plus.
Yeah, so, I've caught them there.
You know, I mean, and that's, some people don't realize what we really are dealt on the west coast versus the east coast.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, sir.
No continental shelf, no drop-off. If you go 8 miles off in from the east coast of Florida, 8 miles in the Atlantic, you're in 1,000 feet of water.
Depending on where you're at, correct.
You know, 600, whatever. You're in hundreds of feet of water,
yeah.
And you go 6 miles out here, you're in 30, 40 feet of water.
Correct.
It's a whole different ballgame. Now, what's kind of interesting to see is an overview of Florida and during the Ice Age, how far Florida went out on the west coast. It was, the land was sticking out almost 80 miles further. They found, you know, underwater mastodon stuff, you know, land animals that were there thousands of years ago when it was all dry land. And so that's why when you go off the Atlantic, it's a drop off. But here, the land used to go way out.
Correct.
And so it's a different world. It's a different ballgame. Now, some of these wrecks that you're fishing for the amberjack and the, and these other pelagics like the permit and all these, they're actually good-sized ships that they drop down there, like the Mohawk, the Pegasus, the Bayronto. They're actually pretty big boats, so they're, the relief off of those from the bottom up to the top of some of those ships is what, 30, 40 feet?
Can be, depending on how long they've been there and how much they've deteriorated over the years. With us, we don't fish a lot of public numbers anyhow, and most of those wrecks are all public. If you go north of our area, there's a lot more wrecks on the bottom. If you go south of our area, there's a lot more wrecks on the bottom. We've never had a port right here in the Boca Grande area, so we've never had a lot of ship traffic come in, so we don't have as many wrecks as you would north or south of us.
It's amazing how many old German submarines are out there that were shot in World War II that nobody ever heard about, and freighters and tugboats, and I mean, just such an array. I did a search on wrecks in the Gulf a while back, and there was just too many to actually list. I mean, mm-hmm. when you start looking at the vast array of them and lost ships, how many is out there is actually staggering.
Majority of our wrecks, to be honest, they're sailboats, shrimp boats, commercial fishing boats, is mostly what we have right off our coast within reason that most people can get to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I'm still going with the U-boat. I know there's a lot of U-boats out there.
There is. Yeah. There's some out there. But well, like I say, it's just, yes. It's people don't realize the difference with 90 miles either direction of us.
I figured, you know, I had to have something to pick on you with. So anyway, to me, I'm really going to looking forward to this weekend. I'm probably going to take Friday off. I don't think I'm coming to work. And good. I think Terry and I are going to go out in the boat. And, well, I get paperwork today and all that. Kind of taking off. I don't get to see Dwayne much anymore because that big boat keeps him running. And you're still doing some backcountry trips. And you got tarpon season right around the corner.
Right and, around the corner.
Yeah, Dwayne is one of the premier beach fishing, he's just one of the, you know, one premier of the, tarpon guides.
Yeah, one of the premier tarpon guides. He can cover it all, the harbor, the beaches, the passes.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Cool. Fun to fish with, too.
Yeah, that's one thing I...
You don't have to blow smoke, Robert.
No, I enjoy fishing with you, Dwayne.
Well, Dwayne's one of the few boats I actually get on. I don't get on a lot of boats, but I get on Dwayne's boats. And, you know, that's might say a little bit of something. He's actually fun to fish with. And he doesn't give me a hard time when I, later. So, you know, doesn't pick on me too much.
It's all about fun, guys. If we can't have fun, it's not worth doing.
So, anyway, so you're booked up, and you're going to try and get back out this weekend and see what happens. Maybe you can give me a call and let us know what happens after this weekend, how it's going out in the Gulf.
I will do that. I would like to be able to tell you I'd get back in here, but I know next week we're booked every day.
Actually, I can do this over the phone. And I have the technology.
Well, I'm not smart enough usually, but...
You can use a phone, Dwayne. I've known you 30 years. Now, I'm not sure you can walk and use a phone at the same time.
Yeah, but by the time I get back to Lynn, I'm usually ready to be done. That phone hasn't worked all day, and I'm kind of enjoying that.
There is no cell service, there's no internet, there's no nothing out there.
So, but we do enjoy it, and like I say, we will keep everybody informed on what's happening out there, no problem. It's just bear with us, and I'll get with Frank, and then if I throw it in Frank's lap, it's left up to him, so then at that point, you guys can't blame me.
Yeah, right. I still blame you, buddy. There ain't no way you're getting out of this. Robert, what's your take on what's going to go on this weekend?
Honestly, my personal bet would be going offshore and taking advantage of the beautiful weather that we're going to have. You know, because, I mean, we don't get too many opportunities this time of year. There's so many places inshore where you can hide and get out of the wind and fish for the typical fish. But to get out there and go grouper fishing, or especially the snapper fishing, you take advantage of every calm day that you can and jump on it.
Yeah, because, you know...
There's more windy days than there is calm days for that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, do me one favor. Please be safe. Do your homework before you go. I don't want to have to be pulling you back to the land, or even worse than that, it could be that drastic. And just do your homework. Like the guys the other day were out there, no GPS, didn't have a clue where they were. It's not safe.
Okay, Friday, 6 mile an hour winds. Saturday, 3 to 8 mile an hour winds. Sunday, 7 to 9 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
And we're looking at every day in the 70s.
Correct.
So,
see, and that's ideal. That's just perfect.
Yeah, this is going to be a great weekend to get offshore. And keep in mind, it's a big, big gulf. And if you see somebody fishing, just go away from them. It's just polite. You don't want somebody coming up and anchoring next to you while you're fishing. Don't do it to other people. It's a big place. There's a lot of fish. You know, look around, and when you see people all anchored up over there, go the other way. It's real simple, and it works better. It's more fun, and, you know, it's just common courtesy in the South. I know in a lot of places, everybody likes to bunch up in groups, but down here, we're kind of like the old explorers. Everybody wants to just go their own way and have their own space. So try and keep that in mind when you're out there in the Gulf. Find your own spots and your own fish, and kind of leave everybody to have their own quiet days. Because when we're out in the Gulf, that's what we look for, is peace and quiet. You know, I know you got all the radios and stuff. I don't have a radio in my boat. I mean, I get out, I've got to, but you have clients in your boat. I'm not doing charters anymore. So when my boat goes out, the cell phone goes off. There's no AM, FM. There's no CD player. All I want to hear is the water and the wind. So anyway, say goodbye, Captain Dwayne.
Goodbye, guys. Hopefully we'll see you on the water this weekend. Be safe. And don't forget your local tackle shop here at Frank's. We'll have all the bait you need to get them fish this weekend. Snapper and grouper. Tight lines, guys.
All right. We'll see you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.